Judging by the amount of coughing that is being done this morning, it's that time of year, isn't it? We have a number that are unable to be with us this morning as a result of various sicknesses. So look around and see who's not here and give them a call, check on them, let them know that they were missed this morning. It will get better. Anyone ever said that to you? Let me ask you this. When they said that to you, by way of encouragement, no doubt, did you believe them? You know, when we go through things, when we make a mess of things, when we suffer the consequences of others making a mess of things in our lives, when the doctor delivers the news that we weren't anticipating, what do you want to hear? You know, over the last several years, I've gotten a number of phone calls during that time of people who are struggling with various things, and as they tell me their struggles and their trials and the things that they're going through, oftentimes I have to tell you, I struggle with the words to say. You know, ultimately, what I would like to say and really emphatically say with great passion, I want to say, it'll get better. It'll get better. That's what we want to hear, right? When things go wrong in my life, I want someone with credibility who has the knowledge to tell me, Justin, it's going to be okay. Things are going to get better. That's what we need to hear, right? Things are going to get better. Let me pose the question this morning. Do you believe this morning that things are going to get better? Listen, every single person in the room this morning, we got stuff going on, don't we? I don't care who you are. There is stuff going on. There's new trials that you're facing. There's temptations that you're going through. Do you expect them to get better this morning? You know, we're coming to the close of 2018, just another month or so. We'll be entering into another year, 2019. In 2019, do you expect that things will get better? You know, this quarter, we're asking or posing the question and attempting to answer the question of why be a Christian. And really this lesson is rooted and motivated by that theme. And let me just say that it's a great thing to be a Christian. It's a wonderful thing to be a child of God. And let me tell you why. Only the faithful child of God has the perspective, the true perspective, that things will truly get better. You see, the faithful Christian, regardless of what you're going through this morning, we live for a better place, that place being heaven with our God in eternity forever. So yes, as a faithful Christian this morning, I can say with all confidence that ultimately things will get better. The Apostle Paul told Titus in Titus 2 at verse 11, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age." Verse 13, listen to it. "Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Christ Jesus." Looking for that blessed hope. We live for a better place, do we not? The Hebrew writer says, in regard to our hope, "But as it is, they desire a better country," that's people of faith, "that is a heavenly one. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them." That's hope. We desire, we have a confident expectation, the faithful, of a better place. Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 3, I should say, reminds us that we can have this "it will get better" perspective as a result of this ultimate hope. In 1 Peter 1 at verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." Verse 6, "In this you greatly rejoice." Yes. We do greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What a marvelous thing for the faithful. For the child of God, in the midst of all of this stuff that comes with living on this side of eternity, the Christian knows that things, listen to me, the Christian knows that things will get better in the form of our ultimate spiritual goal, that being heaven. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, I want you to drop down to verse 18, because while our hope of heaven is powerful and it's sustaining, and as a result it provides this unique perspective that the world doesn't share, I would argue that even in the immediate, for the faithful, things have already gotten better, have they not? Let Peter explain verse 18. He says, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things," writing to Christians here, things like silver or gold from your feudal way of life inherited from your forefathers. Verse 19 says, "But you were redeemed with the precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ." Things have already gotten better, haven't they, Christians? From the bondage of sin, Peter says, to redemption by the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 22, "Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart," the first part of that verse, "from pollution of sin to purification." Verse 23, "For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all of its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you." From dead in sin, Peter says, to born again, forgiven, the new man. Chapter 2 at verse 9, if you turn over just a chapter, he says in verse 9 of chapter 2, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Verse 10, listen to this. "For you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Without mercy, Peter says, to now having mercy. Brethren, if you are a faithful Christian this morning, things are already better. They have been made better through Jesus Christ. And we should be ever thankful. And I would take it a step further. If you are a faithful Christian this morning, you should be optimistic, regardless of what you're going through this morning. So as we come to the close of this year, 2018, will things get better for you? What if I could assure you that some major things in your life will get better moving forward? But would you be interested in that? I'm talking major things in your life. I can assure you that in the coming year, they will get better. There's one catch. there's one factor that must be present if things are going to get better for you. If things are going to get better, ladies and gentlemen, your faith must increase. It's that simple. If things are going to get better, your faith must become stronger. Let me illustrate this. Consider this one. Discernment between good and evil. Brethren, I want you to consider your life for just a moment. I want you to consider this past year for just a moment. I want you to consider the problems in your life. I want you to consider the things that keep you up at night. How much of our struggles, how much of our discouragement, how much of the mess around us has simply to do with the decisions that we have made and the decisions that we continue to make? How many of our problems and our heartaches are as a result of we just keep messing up? We keep sinning. We keep making the same bad decisions over and over and over, and as a result, we continue to keep suffering the same consequences over and over and over. Wouldn't you like that to get better in the coming year? Discernment between good and evil. Well, we're studying this passage in the Hebrews class in the back, and I've been thinking a lot about it. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5 for just a moment. We won't stay here long. Listen to what the Hebrew writer says, beginning at verse 12. Familiar verse to you. The writer says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." Look at verse 13. "For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained." Here's our phrase. To discern good and evil. Brethren, I'm suggesting to you this morning that in this passage, there is a very simple expectation. What does God expect of the Christian? Very simple. He expects growth. The writer says, by this time, you ought to be teachers. You ought to be, but you're not, he says. They weren't. And maybe you're here this morning and you're not. But I want us to see what he's saying. Those who are growing, advancing from milk to meat, possessing the ability to discern between good and evil, in other words, he says, this is a developed skill. It's a skill that's based on the word of righteousness, he says. And as we increase in knowledge, exercising our senses, he says, we will have a better ability to make right choices. To make right choices. To have the ability to discern that this is good and this is bad. To have the wisdom, the discernment, to look at the situation and say, I'm not going near that because it's bad, and I'm running to here because it's good. We need more discernment, do we not? I don't care how long you've been a Christian. We need more discernment. Let's face it. Discerning right from wrong sometimes really poses a great challenge. It can be very challenging. But here's the good news that the writer is telling us. As we commit to study, as we commit ourselves to spending time in God's Word, as we commit ourselves to meditation and application of God's Word, as we pray for wisdom coupled with our study and our application, what's going to happen? Our faith is going to grow. And as our faith grows, our ability to discern good from evil, right from wrong, is going to get I would suggest to you this morning that every single one of us, every soul represented here this morning, we need more discernment. In a wicked world, a culture that's gone awry, we need more discernment. You know, along those same lines, as our faith grows, as we get stronger, I believe it will also get better in our ability to resist temptation and to really thrive in the trials that come in this life. In James chapter 1 at verse 2, another familiar passage, James says the following, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials." I would say this morning, that's a very mature perspective, is it not? Verse 3, "Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Drop down to verse 12. He says, "Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Brethren, we are going to face trials in this life. You are going through trials right now. And with those trials are going to come incredible temptation. You will be persecuted for your faith in one way or another. But consider what James is saying. James is saying, as we endure in faith, as we stay in the Lord's will, as we win the battles through our faith in God, look what's going to happen. The next storm that comes, the next trial that comes, the next temptation that comes, are they coming? Shake your head yes. They are coming. What's going to happen? For people of faith, as our faith is growing and getting stronger, the next storm, the next trial, the next temptation is going to get easier. And isn't that exciting? 1 Peter chapter 1 at verse 7, we looked at it again a moment ago. Look at it with me again. Peter says, "So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Look at verse 8. This is faith. "And though you have not seen Him," you love Him. "And though you do not see Him now," you believe in Him. "You greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory." Peter compares our faith in the midst of suffering to that of gold that is being refined by fire. What's the point? The point is it comes out better. It gets better. As we patiently endure through faith, we are getting stronger, we are getting better. It will get better. If our faith becomes stronger, as our faith becomes stronger, our discernment between good and evil gets stronger. Our ability to resist temptation gets better. Our ability, how about this one? How many of us this morning, the trial in our life is as a result of a fractured relationship? How many of us this morning are struggling this morning, are suffering this morning as a result of a fractured relationship in our lives? The ability to forgive. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know about you, but I think forgiveness can be one of the hardest things to do. When people have hurt us, it's hard. When people have hurt our families, it's harder. Forgiveness can be very difficult, can it not? What if I told you that in 2019, it's going to get easier to forgive? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Because if we have the ability to forgive, if it becomes easier to forgive, if we get better at forgiveness, guess what's going to happen? Those relationships that are causing us so much grief in our lives are going to get better, at least from our perspective, right? Can't control them. I want you to go over to Luke chapter 17 for just a moment. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus here really, I think, confronts the difficulty of this, but also reminds us that forgiveness is a command. In dialogue with his disciples, listen to what Jesus says in Luke chapter 17 at verse 3. He says, "Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times a day," that would get old, wouldn't it? "And returns to you seven times saying, 'I repent,' what are we to do? Hold him at an arm's length? Give him the silent treatment?" Jesus says, "Forgive him. Forgive him." I would take it a step further, and I believe that the Bible teaches this. As we forgive, as Jesus has forgiven us, I understand the condition of them coming and asking for forgiveness. I get all of that. Take your focus off that for just a moment, though. I want you to think about the way that Jesus has forgiven us. Jesus did everything within His power to make reconciliation possible. And I'll just ask you this morning, if you're sitting and waiting for your brother to come and to ask for forgiveness, have you done everything in your power to make that reconciliation easier? And then when they come, Jesus says, "You forgive them." And now we talk a lot about forgiveness, as we should. It's hard. I want you to look at the response of the disciples. They recognize the difficulty of this, don't they? We spend more time on the passage preceding as we do the response. But the response is powerful. Notice their conclusion as a result of this command that Jesus just gives them. Seven times a day. Brother sins against you seven times a day. And Jesus says, "We got to forgive him." The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith. Increase our faith." I want you to make this connection this morning. The apostles rightly understood to be able to fulfill this hard command. What did they need? Increased faith. To be someone, I'll just say, who is good at forgiving, increase our faith. Here's the implication. The obvious implication. As my faith grows, as I get stronger spiritually, my ability to forgive gets better. And as my ability to forgive gets better, so does my influence become stronger, and so do my relationships become stronger. Increase our faith, Lord. Things will get better if our faith becomes stronger. Our discernment between good and evil, right and wrong, our ability to resist temptation, to thrive in trials, our ability to forgive. And how about this last one? If your faith become stronger, so better will be your ability to deal with declining health. You know, everything around us, it's wearing out, isn't it? Including us. Every day, our bodies are slowly deteriorating. And now here's the deal. For those of us who are a little younger, we don't recognize it, do we? We still have our health. We may move a little slower than we used to, but we don't feel it quite as much as maybe some of the rest of you. But I can assure you that what's going to happen in 2019, if you're blessed to live that long, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in 2019. Your body is going to continue to deteriorate, regardless of how old you are. That's even our young children. Your body is going to continue to get to wear out. In another year, you're going to be another year older. And all that comes with that. You know, the Bible presents a very realistic picture of the aging process. And it's not a real pretty picture, is it? In fact, it's so ugly, we won't even take the time to read about it. Because I think you understand. Here's what I'll tell you this morning. I'm not going to sit up here and I'm not going to tell you that your health is going to get better next year. Because it's not going to. In fact, it's going to decline. It's going to get worse. That's the way God designed it. But here's what I will tell you. If you want to age gracefully with the proper perspective, it's going to take strong faith. I'll tell you this. If you will dedicate yourself to grow your faith and become stronger in the next year, declining health will get easier. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul presents a perspective that each and every one of us, brethren, we need to share it. Listen to what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 at verse 16. He says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying," that's every single one of us, right? "Yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen." That's faith, isn't it? That's what we're talking about. "For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Go to chapter 5 and look at verse 8. "For we know that if the earthly tent with which our house is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed, and our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch we have putting it on, will not be found naked. For indeed we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life." Verse 5 says, "Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." Verse 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Verse 8, "We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord." Go back to chapter 4 for just a moment, and I want you to look at the phrase that is found in verse 16. It is a statement of faith. Paul says, "But though our outer man is decaying," that's the physical body, the physical house that houses our soul. He says, though the outer man is decaying, Paul says, "yet our inner man is being renewed day by day." That's the idea of day after day. What a perspective. Let me ask you this. What renewed Paul on a daily basis, even though his outer man, his physical body, was deteriorating? You know, if you notice there at the beginning of verse 16, there's a "therefore." Let me show you what that "therefore" is there for. Go back to 2 Corinthians, go back to chapter 4, and go to verse 1 at the beginning of the text leading up here in the context. I'll tell you how Paul was being renewed day by day spiritually while his outer man, his body, was deteriorating. He says in verse 1, "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we received mercy, we do not lose heart." How was Paul being renewed? He was renewed by being reminded that it was the mercy of God that was shown to him as a sinner in desperate need of grace and mercy. Look at verse 10. "Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh." Verse 13, "But having the same spirit of faith," there's our faith, "according to what it is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak." Look at verse 14, "knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus, and will present us with you." What renewed Paul day after day after day, even though his outer body was declining, it was the power of the resurrection that sustained his frail body. It was the knowledge that his brothers and sisters in Christ would also one day stand in judgment by God approved. That's what was renewing the Apostle Paul. You know, like us, Paul's physical body was deteriorating. But his inner man, through faith, was being renewed daily. I have to tell you, I want that perspective. And I want that perspective for you. As our outer man is deteriorating, we're still encouraged because our inner man is in this constant process of being renewed. The Apostle Paul would say in Colossians chapter 3 at verse 10, "And have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created." As we humbly seek the Lord in His Word, brethren, we are being changed. We are becoming more and more like our Savior. So will it get better? I believe things can certainly get better. I believe they can get better in the immediate if your faith becomes stronger. Romans 10 at verse 17. We'll talk more about this tonight. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Will things get better if your faith gets stronger? How does your faith get stronger? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Brethren, we must get in God's Word. We must commit ourselves to daily Bible study. We must commit ourselves to daily meditation of God's Word, and at the end of the day, we must be willing to apply these truths to our life. Then you will get stronger and things will get better. It's that simple. Maybe you're here this morning and things are not as they should be. As we were reading there from 1 Peter chapter 3, just a moment ago at the beginning of this lesson, looking at all the various spiritual blessings. Maybe you've spent some time in the past looking at passages like Ephesians chapter 1, and you see all of the wonderful blessings that come with being in Christ. Redemption, forgiveness, this new start, this awesome, incredible thing that comes with being a child of God, that being the forgiveness of your sins and the great hope of heaven that comes with that. The Bible is very clear on what you must do to be saved. You must be willing to repent of your sins and be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Have you done that? Maybe you're here this morning and you've taken those steps and things are not as they should be. Maybe there's sin in your life. And it has plagued you for far too long and you just continue to struggle and continue to struggle and continue to struggle and you need help. You need prayers. You need encouragement. Why don't you make things right this very morning as we stand and as we sit?